Oh, here's an interesting story you might not know. The marriage of Sambha. Duryodhana, the son of Dhritarashtra, had a marriageable daughter by the name of Lakshmana. She was very highly qualified and one of the most famous girls in the entire Kuru dynasty. And many princes wanted to marry her. In such cases, the Swayamvar ceremony is held so that the girl may select her husband according to her own choice. In Lakshmana's Swayamvar assembly, when the girl was to select her husband, Sambha appeared. He was the son of Krishna's wife, Jambavati, one of Lord Krishna's chief queens. This son, Sambha, was so named because he was a pet child and always lived close to his mother. The name Sambha indicates a son who is very much his mother's pet. Amba means mother, and Sa means with. So this special name was given to him because he always remained with his mother. He was also known as Jambavati Sutta for the same reason. As previously explained, all the sons of Krishna were as qualified as their great father. Sambha wanted Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshmana, although she was not inclined to have him. Therefore, Sambha kidnapped Lakshmana by force from the Swayamvar ceremony. Because Sambha took Lakshmana away from the assembly by force, all the members of the Kuru dynasty, such as Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Vidura, and Arjuna, thought it an insult to their family tradition that the boy Sambha could possibly have kidnapped their daughter. All of them knew that Lakshmana was not at all inclined to select him as her husband, and that she was not given the chance to select her own husband. Instead, she was forcibly taken away by this boy. Therefore, they decided that he must be punished. They unanimously declared that he was the most impotent and had degraded the Kuru's family tradition. Therefore, all of them, under the counsel of the elder members of the Kuru dynasty, decided to arrest the boy, but not kill him. They concluded that the girl could not be married to any other boy than Sambha, since she had already been touched by him. According to the Vedic system, once being touched by some boy, a girl cannot be married or given to any other boy. Nor would anyone agree to marry a girl who had already thus associated with another boy. The elder members of the family, such as Bhishma, wanted to arrest him. Thus, all the members of the Kuru dynasty, especially the great fighters, joined together just to teach him a lesson, and Karna was made the commander-in-chief for this small battle. While making the plan to arrest Sambha, the Kurus counseled amongst themselves, and upon his arrest, the members of the Yadu dynasty would be very angry with them. There was every possibility of the Yadus accepting the challenge and fighting with them. But they also thought, if they came here to fight with us, what could they do? The members of the Yadu dynasty cannot equal the members of the Kuru dynasty, because the kings of the Kuru dynasty are the emperors, whereas the kings of the Yadu dynasty are able to enjoy their land only because we have granted it to them. The Kurus thought, if they come here to challenge us because their son was arrested, we shall accept the fight and teach them a lesson, so that automatically they will be subdued under pressure, as the senses are subdued by the mystic yoga process of pranayama. In the mechanical system of mystic yoga, the errors within the body are controlled, and the senses are subdued and checked from being engaged in anything other than meditation upon Lord Vishnu. After consultation and after receiving permission from the elder members of the Kuru dynasty, such as Bhishma and Dhritarashtra, five great warriors, Karna, Shala, Buri, Yajnaketu, and Duryodhana, the father of the girl, who were all Maharatis and who were guided by the great fighter Bhishma Dev, attempted to arrest the boy Samba. There are different grades of fighters, including Maharati, Ekarati, and Rati, classifications according to their fighting ability. These Maharatis could alone fight with many thousands of men at the same time. All of them combined together to arrest Samba. Samba was also a Maharati. But he was alone and had to fight with six other Maharatis. Still, he was not deterred when he saw all the great fighters of the Kuru dynasty coming up behind him to arrest him. Alone, he turned towards them and took his nice bow, posing exactly as a lion stands adamant in the face of other animals. Karna, leading the party, challenged Samba. "Why are you fleeing? Just stand here, and we shall teach you a lesson." When challenged by another Kshatriya to stand and fight, a Kshatriya cannot run away. He must fight. Therefore, Samba accepted the challenge and stood alone before them. But as soon as he did, he was so overpowered by showers of arrows shot by all the great warriors. A lion is never afraid of being chased by many wolves and jackals. Similarly, Samba, the glorious son of the Yadu dynasty, endowed with inconceivable potencies as the son of Lord Krishna, became very angry at the warriors of the Kuru dynasty for improperly using arrows against him. He fought them with great talent. First of all, he struck each of the six charioteers with six separate arrows. He used another four arrows to kill the charioteer's horses, four on each chariot. Then he used one arrow to kill the driver and one arrow for Karna as well as the other celebrated fighters. While Samba so diligently fought alone with six great warriors, they all appreciated the boy's inconceivable potency. Even in the midst of fighting, they admitted frankly that this boy was wonderful. But the fighting was conducted in the Kshatriya spirit. So altogether, although it was improper, they obliged Samba to get down from his chariot, now broken to pieces. Of the six warriors, four took care to kill Samba's four horses. One struck down his chariot driver, and one managed to cut the string of Samba's bow so that he could no longer fight with them. In this way, with great difficulty, and after a severe fight, they deprived Samba of his chariot and were able to arrest him. Thus, the warriors of the Kuna dynasty accepted their great victory and took their daughter Lakshmana away from him. Thereafter, they entered the city of Hastinapur in great triumph. So what do you think is going to happen, Rasalila? They just arrested Samba and they took the girl away, Lakshmana. Okay, let's read. The great sage Narada immediately carried the news to the Yadu dynasty that Samba had been arrested and told them the whole story. The members of the Yadu dynasty became very angry at Samba's being arrested, and improperly so, by six great warriors. Now, with the permission of the head of the Yadu dynasty, King Ugrasena, they prepared to attack the capital city of the Kuru dynasty. Although Lord Balaram knew very well that by slight provocation, people are prepared to fight with one another in the age of Kali, he did not like the idea that the two great dynasties, the Kuru dynasty and the Yadu dynasty, would fight among themselves, even though they were influenced by Kali Yuga. Instead of fighting them, he wisely thought, let me go there and see the situation, and let me try to see if the fight can be settled by mutual understanding. Balaram's idea was that the Kuru dynasty could be induced to release Sambha along with his wife Lakshmana. Then the fight could be avoided. He therefore immediately arranged for a nice chariot to go to Hastinapur, accompanied by learned priests and brahmanas, as well as some of the elder members of the Yadu dynasty. He was confident that the members of the Kuru dynasty would agree to this marriage and avoid fighting with the Yadus. As Lord Balaram proceeded toward Hastinapur in his chariot, accompanied by the brahmanas and elders, he looked like the moon shining in the clear sky among the glittering stars. When Lord Balaram reached the precincts of the city of Hastinapur, he did not enter but stationed himself in a camp outside the city, in a small garden house. Then he asked Uddhava to meet with the elders of the Kuru dynasty and inquire from them whether they wanted to fight with the Yadu dynasty or to make a settlement. Uddhava went to see the leaders of the Kuru dynasty, and he met all the important members, including Bhishma Dev, Dhritarashtra, Dronacharya, Duryodhana, and Balika. After offering them due respects, he informed them that Lord Balaram had arrived at the garden outside the city gate. The leaders of the Kuru dynasty, especially Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, were joyful because they knew very well that Lord Balaram was a great well-wisher of their family. There were no bounds to their joy on hearing the news, and so they immediately welcomed Uddhava. In order to properly receive Lord Balaram, they took in their hands auspicious paraphernalia for his reception and went to see him outside the city gate. According to their respective positions, they welcomed Lord Balaram by giving him in charity nice cows and argya, a mixture of arti water, an assortment of items such as honey, butter, flowers, and sandalwood paste. Because all of them knew the exalted position of Lord Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they bowed their heads before the Lord with great respect. They all exchanged words of reception by asking one another about their welfare. And when such formalities were finished, Lord Balaram, in a great voice and very patiently, submitted before them the following words for their consideration. My dear friends, this time I have come to you as a messenger with the order of the all-powerful King Ugrasena. Please, therefore, hear the order with attention and great care. Without wasting a single moment, please try to carry out the order. King Ugrasena knows very well that you warriors of the Kuru dynasty improperly fought with the pious Sambha, who was alone, and that with great difficulty and unrighteous tactics, you have arrested him. We have all heard this news, but we are not very much agitated because we are most intimately related to one another. I do not think we should disturb our good relationship. We should continue our friendship without any unnecessary fighting. Please, therefore, immediately release Sambha and bring him, along with his wife, Lakshmana, before me. When Lord Balaram spoke in a commanding tone full of heroic assertion, supremacy, and chivalry, the leaders of the Kuru dynasty did not appreciate his statements. Rather, all of them became agitated. And with great anger, they said, oh, these words are very astonishing, but quite befitting the age of Kali. Otherwise, how could Balaram speak so vituperantly? The language and tone used by Balaram are simply abusive. And due to the influence of this age, it appears that the shoes befitting the feet one to rise to the top of the head where the helmet is worn. We are connected to the Yadu dynasty by marriage, but because of this, they have been given the chance to come and live with us, dine with us, and sleep with us. Now they are taking advantage of these privileges. They have practically no position before we gave them a portion of our kingdom to rule. And now they are trying to command us. We have allowed the Yadu dynasty to use the royal insignias like the whisk, fan, conch shell, and white umbrella, their crown, their royal throne, their sitting place, and their bedsteads, along with everything else befitting the royal order. They should not have used such royal paraphernalia in our presence, but we did not check them due to our family relationships. Now they have the audacity to order us to do things. Well, enough of their impudence. We cannot allow them to do any more of this foolishness. Nor shall we allow them to use these royal insignias anymore. It would be best to take all these things away. It is improper to feed a snake with milk, since such merciful activities simply increase his venom. The Yadu dynasty is now trying to go against those who have fed them so nicely. Their flourishing condition is due to our gifts and merciful behavior. And still, they are so shameless that they are trying to order us? How regrettable are all of these activities. No one in the world can enjoy anything if the members of the Kuru dynasty like Bhishma, Dronacharya, and Arjuna do not allow them to. Exactly as a lamb cannot enjoy life in the presence of a lion. Without our desire, it is not even possible for the demigods in heaven. Jai, Radhakala Chanji. Oh, I hope you guys don't mind. I'm reading a story about Krishna. This is a powerful king who became very arrogant. He's speaking here. He's saying this to Lord Balaram. He said, no one in the world can enjoy anything if members of the Kuru dynasty like Bhishma, Dronacharya, and Arjuna do not allow them to. Exactly as a lamb cannot enjoy life in the presence of a lion. Without our desire, it is not even possible for the demigods in heaven like King Indra to enjoy anything that he has. Even King Indra cannot find enjoyment in life. What to speak of ordinary human beings? Actually, the members of the Kuru dynasty were very much puffed up due to their opulence, their kingdom, their aristocracy, their family tradition, being great warriors, their family members in vast, expansive empire. They did not even observe common formalities of civilized society. And in the presence of Lord Balaram, they uttered insulting words about the Yadu dynasty. Having spoken in this unmannerly way, they returned to their city of Hastinapur. Although Lord Balaram patiently heard their insulting words and simply observed their uncivil behavior and their arrogance, from his appearance it was clear that he was burning with anger and was thinking of retaliating with great vengeance. His bodily features became so agitated that it was difficult for anyone to even look at him. He then laughed very loudly and said, "Ha! It is true that if a man becomes too much puffed up because of his family and his money, his beauty and his material advancement, he no longer wants a peaceful life, but becomes belligerent towards others. It is useless to give such a person good instruction for gentle behavior and a peaceful life. On the contrary, one should search out the ways and means to punish such a fool. Generally, due to material opulence, a man becomes exactly like an animal. To give an animal peaceful instructions is useless. And the only means is argumentum ad bacillum. In other words, the only means to keep animals in order is to beat them. Just see how impotent are the members of the Kuru dynasty. I wanted to make a peaceful settlement despite the anger of all of the other members of the Yadu dynasty, including Lord Krishna himself. They were preparing to attack the whole kingdom of the Kuru dynasty, but I pacified them, and I took the trouble to come here to settle the affair without fighting. Yet these fools and rascals behave like this. It is clear that they do not want a peaceful settlement, for they are factually wrongdoers. With great pride, they have repeatedly insulted me by calling the Yadu dynasty ill names. Even the king of heaven, Indra, abides by the orders of the Yadu dynasty. And you consider King Ugrasena, the head of the Bhojanas, the Vrishnis, the Andakas, and the Yadavas, to be the leader of a small phalanx? Your conclusion is wonderful. You do not care for King Ugrasena, whose order is obeyed even by King Indra? Consider the exalted position of the Yadu dynasty. They have forcibly used both the assembly house and the Parijata tree of the heavenly planets. And still you think they cannot order you? Don't you even think that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can sit on the exalted royal throne and command you? All right. If your thinking's like that, you deserve to be taught a very good lesson. You have thought it wise that the royal insignias like the whisk, fan, white umbrella, royal throne, and other princely paraphernalia not be used by the Yadu dynasty? Does this mean that even Lord Krishna, the Lord of the whole creation and the husband of the goddess of fortune, cannot use the royal paraphernalia? The dust of Krishna's lotus feet is worshipped by the greatest, the demigods. The Ganges water inundates the whole world, and since it emanates from his lotus feet, its banks have turned into great places of pilgrimage. The principal deities of all planets engage in his service and consider themselves most fortunate to take the dust of his lotus feet upon their helmets. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and even the goddess of fortune herself, and even I, Lord Balaram, are simply plenary parts of his spiritual identity. And still you think he is not fit to use the royal insignia or to even sit on the royal throne? Alas, how regrettable it is that these fools consider us, the members of the Yadu dynasty, to be like the shoes and themselves like helmets. It is clear now that these leaders of the Kuru dynasty have become mad over their worldly possessions and opulence. Even every statement they made was full of crazy proposals. I should immediately take them to task and bring them to their senses. If I do not take steps against them, it will be improper on my part. Therefore, on this very day, I shall rid the entire world of any trace of this Kuru dynasty. I shall finish them off immediately. While talking like this, Lord Balaram seemed so furious that he looked as if he could burn the whole cosmic creation to ashes. He stood up steadily and took his plow in his hand, and he began striking the earth with it. By doing this, he separated the entire city of Hastinapur from the earth. He then began to drag the entire city towards the flowing water of the river Ganges. This caused a great tremor and earthquake throughout Hastinapur, and everything began to collapse. Hastinapur, as if there had been a great earthquake, and it seemed that the whole world would be dismantled. When the members of the Kuru dynasty saw that their entire capital city was about to fall into the water of the Ganges, and when they heard their citizens howling and screaming in the streets, they immediately came to their senses and understood what was happening. Thus, without waiting another second, they brought forward their daughter Lakshmana. They also brought Sambha, who they had improperly arrested, and and who tried to forcibly, and who had forcibly carried her away, keeping him in the forefront with Lakshmana at his back. All the members of the Kurus dynasty appeared before Lord Balaram with folded hands and began to beg him to forgive them. Now, using good sense, they said, "O Balaram, reservoir of all pleasure, you are the maintainer and support of the entire cosmic situation. Unfortunately, we were all unaware of your inconceivable potencies. Dear Lord, please consider us most foolish. Our intelligence was bewildered by our wealth and not in order. Therefore, we have come before you to beg you to forgive us. Please excuse us. You are the original creator, the sustainer, and the annihilator of the entire cosmic manifestation. And still your position is always transcendental. O powerful Lord, great sages speak of your glories. You are the original puppeteer, and everything in this world is like your toy. O unlimited one, you have a hold on everything, and like child's play, you hold all the planetary systems of unlimited universes upon your head. When the time of dissolution comes, you close up the whole cosmic manifestation within yourself. And at that time, nothing remains but yourself lying within the causal ocean as Mahavishnu. Our dear Lord, you have appeared on this earth in your transcendental body just for the maintenance of the cosmic situation. You are above all anger, envy, and enmity. Whatever you do, even in the form of chastisement, is all auspicious for the entire universe. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you because you are the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences and all potencies. O Creator of unlimited universes, let us fall down and offer you our respectful obeisances again and again. Everything we have is an insignificant portion of your unlimited potencies. We are now completely surrendered unto you. Please, therefore, be merciful. Do not destroy us and our capital. Please give us protection." When the prominent members of the Kuru dynasty, from Grandfather Bhishma Dev to Arjun to Duryodhana, had offered their respectful prayers in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Balaram, immediately became softened and assured them that there was no cause for fear, and they need not worry. For the most part, it was the practice of the Kshatriya kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and bridegroom before a marriage. When Sambha forcibly took away Lakshmana, the elder members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased to see that he was actually the suitable match for their daughter. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him, and without respect for the regulations of fighting, they all arrested him. When the Yadu dynasty decided to release Sambha from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter, and as a powerful Kshatriya, he ordered them to free Sambha immediately. The Kauravas were superficially insulted by this order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable strength. Thus, with great pleasure, they handed over their daughter to Sambha, and the whole matter was settled. Duryodhana, being affectionate towards his daughter, Lakshmana, had her married to Sambha in great pomp. For her dowry, he gave 1,200 elephants bedecked with gold, each at least 60 years old. He gave 10,000 nice horses, 6,000 chariots, dazzling just like the sunshine, and 1,000 maidservants decorated heavily in gold ornaments. Lord Balaram, the most prominent member of the Yadu dynasty, acted as guardian of the bridegroom, Sambha, and very pleasingly accepted the dowry. Balaram was very satisfied with this great reception from the side of the Kurus, and accompanied by the newly married couple, he started towards his capital city of Dwarka. Lord Balaram triumphantly reached Dwarka, where he was met by many citizens who were all his devotees and friends. When they all assembled, Lord Balaram narrated the whole story of the marriage, and they were astonished to hear how Balaram had made the city of Hastinapur tremble as he dragged it across the earth. It is confirmed by Sukadeva Goswami that in those days, the river flowing through the city of Hastinapur, present-day New Delhi, was known as the Ganges, although today it is called the Jamuna. From authorities like Jiva Goswami, it is confirmed that the Ganges and Jamuna are the same river flowing in different courses. The part of the Ganges which flows through Hastinapur to the area of Vrindavan is called the Jamuna because it is sanctified by the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. The part of Hastinapur which slopes towards the Jamuna becomes inundated during the rainy season and reminds everyone of Lord Balaram's threatening to cast the city into the Ganges. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 68th chapter of Krishna, the marriage of Sambha.